Good evening. It's good to be with you again this evening, and thank you for the invitation to come and to be able to share the Word of God with you. I'm greatly encouraged this evening as I walked in and May stood up and greeted me and said, "I remember your last message." I said, "That's good." Wonderful. I'm glad that the Word has encouraged you, May. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this evening, for the joy of Christian fellowship. We want to thank you for the way that you have led each of us and the marvelous grace that, as our brother Sebastian said, but for the grace of God, there go I. And so, Lord, we are so thankful that this evening we are sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace. And we are accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus. And therefore, we have boldness to come this evening and to pray the way we pray. Because we know that if we prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will answer us in the character of your goodness and what is good for us. So we want to thank you for your omniscience, your all-knowing, that even before a word is on our lips, you know it all together. So we want to thank you that you have heard our prayers, even as you have invited all of us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. So Lord, we want to thank you and ask for grace and for the unction of your Spirit this evening, Your word has said that if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. Not because of us, Lord, but because of your leading, because you are here, that your Spirit will give free course to what is in your word, what is said, that it might transform us, reach us, and encourage us, build us up in our most holy faith. So we look to you, Lord, this evening, even as we turn the pages of Scripture, that beyond these sacred pages, Lord, we seek thee. And we want to know your presence with us this evening. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord, we pray, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening, and this evening we want to turn to Hebrews. Even if I tell you why I chose that song, look, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, I think some of you would have already guessed where my eyes are falling on in the scripture, in Hebrews. So we want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I read. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This evening, we want to focus, we want to give attention to that verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, before chapter 11, I always say, before chapter 12 comes chapter 11. And in chapter 11, we read about many men and women that are of great faith. And in fact, this chapter is called the Hall of Faith. So we have Abel, we have Enoch, we have Noah, we have Abraham, and we have Sarah, we have Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab. And in fact, so many more. If we turn our eyes to chapter 11 and verse 32, we see that, and this is what the writer of Hebrews says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant and in battle turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Well, these are some of the men and women that are of great faith, and what a testimony. And they encouraged us so much. They are the witnesses that in chapter 12, verse 1, is being talked about. They are looking on and cheering us on. But to none of these great men and women are we asked to turn our eyes. And I think of Abraham, I think of Moses, and David was mentioned here. Abraham was called the friend of God. And yet, in Abraham's life, we see failings. And David is mentioned here in chapter 11. He is the one David is the man after God's own heart. And yet, We see the problems in David's life. And so we are not asked to look at them, look unto them. The only one that we are asked to look to is the Lord Jesus. He is without sin, and in him is no sin. He did no sin. He is the one that is perfect. And if we look at men as I was growing as a Christian, a young Christian, we have always been reminded, do not look at men. Do not look at people. Because if you look at them, you will be disappointed. And you will see, huh, I thought he was, didn't he just say that the other day? And look at what he did. And we will see all kinds of shortcomings and failures. But if you look at the Lord Jesus, the one who is perfect, sinless, the Son of God, we will never go wrong. Because it is said, the best of man is still a man at his best. So we look to the Lord Jesus. And it says here in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. Did you look? I'm looking. Did you look? I'm looking. I'm not very good with grammar, English grammar. Some of you are ESL teachers. If I want to describe that word looking, would I be right to say it is a present continuous tense? That we are looking. It's not a one-time look. It is continual looking. Are you looking? Yes, I'm looking. Are you still looking? I'm looking. And so you never take your eyes away from the Lord Jesus. What does the word look mean? The word look means to focus, to set your gaze, to turn your attention, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You know, the other word that is here in verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. And then in verse 3, it says, from looking, it says, now go a little bit further. Consider him. Consider him. You know, the word consider is a word that is often used in astronomy. When you look at the stars, it's a word that, you know, an astronomer will come out in the night and he will train his telescope and look into the heavens, look at the stars. And then suddenly one night, he sees a star that he has never seen before. And he's completely captivated by this star. And so evening after evening, when the sun sets, before the sun sets, he's there. And he has his telescope scanning for that star again. Where is that star? There was a, and then, it's that one. And he studies that star and the brilliance of that star. And night after night, he comes back and he considers that star. That is the word consider, to ponder, to think upon, and to contemplate. What about this star that is so good and so great and the brilliance of that star? And he writes notes and notes and notes upon this star. It's a star that he's just discovered. And that is the word consider. So we are not only to look on the Lord Jesus, continually look at him, but we are to ponder. As the psalmist says, my heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is that of a ready writer. And so he comes back And he considers, and we are asked to do the same, to look upon the Lord Jesus. Why? So that the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Nothing else is important. Nothing else compares to him. As we sing, this is the fairest of 10,000. My beloved is the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. And so we look, it says, looking unto Jesus, not looking and then coming to consider him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It means that he is the one that initiates, that began faith in us. And he is also the one that will sustain it and keep us in himself. And he is the one that is going to finish it, bring us back home. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. It's also what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Having confidence in this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we just started studying Titus chapter 1. It says, the God who doesn't lie, who promised you eternal life, he is the author and the finisher. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. It means that it is from first to last, from the first of faith to the last of faith, Jesus the faithful. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, we read, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greeks. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And what does that mean, from faith to faith? It means right here. It means from first to last. Everything about faith comes through the Lord Jesus. And we are asked to look at him. He is the end. He is the starting point. And he is the finish. You know, he is not only the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus, the one to whom we look to, but he is also the model of our faith. He is the example of what faith is in the Christian. And we see in the life of the Lord Jesus that he continually looked and come to the Father. When every man went to their own home, he went to the mountain. When many had given up and thought it was lost, the Lord Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done. He is not only the object of our faith, the one to whom we look to and continually look to, ask to continually look to, but he is the model of what our faith should be like. He is the author and finisher. He is the first and the last. He is the start and the finish of our faith. In the very same way, John writes this about the Lord Jesus. He says, of his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Grace for faith. Of his fullness have you received grace for grace. Same thought there in a very similar way. When we have exhausted our faith, and if God says, I will exchange your grace. I will exchange my grace for more grace. Grace upon grace. Grace that cannot be exhausted. Grace that cannot be, grace that is all encompassing. Grace upon grace. Faith to faith. Author and finisher is complete in the Lord Jesus. Outside of the Lord Jesus, outside of faith in the Lord Jesus, putting our faith in any other thing is sinking sand. You know, there are many people who are very devout in this world. They are maybe even religious. And I know a few friends, they are Muslims, and they go to the Hajj, and they, right now it's Ramadan, or they do the fasting. They are very religious, but in the wrong person, in the wrong source. The source of all true faith is the Lord Jesus. And that's why in John chapter 15 and verse 5, the Lord Jesus said this: without me, you can do nothing. It is only through true faith in the Lord Jesus will we be saved. It is only through true faith in the Lord Jesus that we can do the works of God. And outside of that is sinking sand. I like to, when I was considering this passage here, especially these verses, to look unto the Lord Jesus, looking at the Lord Jesus, to the Lord Jesus, and I was, and to consider him. And many characters, many people in the New Testament came to my mind. And I think of Peter. When Peter looked at the Lord Jesus, what did he see? And I think of John. When John looked to the Lord Jesus, what did John see? And when Mary looked to the Lord Jesus, what did Jesus see? And they're so beautiful. So many things we can learn from this verses throughout the New Testament. It's interesting that the scripture tells us, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, pens it this way: looking unto Jesus. And not looking at the Lord Jesus. Because the high priest looked at the Lord Jesus, and he made the wrong decision. Because Pilate looked at the Lord Jesus and washed his hands and said, even though this man has, I find no fault in this man, and yet they looked at him, but they didn't look unto him. They did not put their faith in him. So we are not just asked to look at the Lord Jesus and go, like as if we look into a mirror and we forget about it, but we are asked to continually look at the Lord Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So I mentioned quite a few names, and many names will come up of the people who look unto the Lord Jesus, look to the Lord Jesus. But I want to think of tonight, because of time, just one person. John the Baptist. John the Baptist. If John the Baptist gets it right, then he must be right. Because what did the Lord Jesus say of him? Among all those who are born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Right? And if John gets it right, then we should look at what John says. So let's turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he says, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As the prophet Isaiah said, verse 24, "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" Verse 29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Unto whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" And so we look at the testimony of John the Baptist. John the Baptist looked at the Lord Jesus. And what did John the Baptist see? John the Baptist saw someone who is preferred before him, someone whose sandals he is not worthy to unloose or untie. And yet, this same one of whom John says, "whose sandals I am not worthy to untie," this same one, Jesus, would one day stoop underground, have a basin of water, and he washed the disciples' feet. And yet, no wonder Peter said, "You are not going to wash my feet." What did John say? "I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He is preferred before me." And yet, in a very beautiful way, John chapter 13 tells us that the Lord removed his garment and took a basin of water. It's that he disrobed himself, he emptied of himself and made himself of no reputation. And he stooped and he became a servant. He washed the disciples' feet. Ah, John says, "Behold, I look and I see the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world." Not just the sins of the whole world. Sin is one sin, two sin, three sin, that's sins. But the sin of the whole world. This Jesus came and he abolished sin altogether. The principle of sin. He destroyed sin. And so, John says he is the fulfillment of everything that is spoken of in the scripture. He is the antitype of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb that will, whose blood will be splattered on the lintel, on the doorpost. And when the angel of death would come in Egypt to the house of the people, and the firstborn of all the Egyptians would die because of Pharaoh's hardened heart. And all the firstborn would die, but the Israelites whose blood, the blood of the lamb is on the doorpost. When the angel of death comes, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And John sees all the fulfillment of the Old Testament and of the one who will be, he will be in the wilderness leading the, he's the forerunner. And he says, this is the one. And John sees in himself, my Savior. The Lord Jesus, John certainly knows who the Lord Jesus is. Because when Jesus came to John to be baptized, what did John say? John said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not the one to be baptizing you. You should be the one baptizing me." So John sees in the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, and his own Savior. How wonderful. From the words of the mouth of the one who is the greatest born of women. But the most beautiful, we remember John and we always remember him saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But there is one thing that is greater than what he said of that sentence. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." There is one thing that he said that is even greater. You know what is that? That's verse 34. It says, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The Son of God. Surely, John got it all right. He grew up with the Lord Jesus, he knows who he is, and he's seen him, and he is a man that is spotless. The Egyptians have to keep the Passover lamb for 4 days, from the 10th day to the 14th day of the month, to make sure it has no blemish, no wounds, no scars, no deformities, so that it is a perfect lamb. They have to watch it for 4 days before they offer, kill the Passover lamb, and the lamb, the blood of the lamb will protect them. So too, John has watched the Lord Jesus even from the time of the womb, when Mary came to Elizabeth, and both of them were with child, and when Mary came and the child in Elizabeth's womb, which is John the Baptist, was so excited, was kicking away, because he knew this is the Son of God. And so this evening, when we are asked, we are asked to turn to no one. We are asked to be looking at no one except the Lord Jesus. I don't mind sharing. Last Sunday, I was sitting there in the circle, and in my in the room there, during the worship and remembrance, and I was a little bit discouraged that morning, last morning, last Sunday, because there were two people, a couple and one of the other believers, and they were very fervent. They were very they were always there when they first they were searching, and they were trusted in Christ, and they had a good testimony, then a strong testimony. But of late, things seem to be a little bit, the foot seemed to be a bit off the pedal, and they seem to be slowing down, a little bit distracted, and I was kind of disappointed. How do you teach? I've done in every way. I've always been there, come back whenever I'm travel on Sunday, and I'm sure that I'm always there. And I was a bit discouraged. Then I looked to the Lord Jesus. If I was discouraged, the Lord Jesus knew what discouragement is. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when everything was so dark, when he was so in distressed, the Lord Jesus came to his disciples, Peter, James, and John. Pray with me. And then he went on and prayed to the Father. Father, if it be your will, let this cup from me pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then he came back and he saw what? This, the closest of his disciples, they were sleeping. He knew what discouragement. And I looked to the Lord and I thought, Lord, you understood. And you went on. You keep on going on. And you went to the cross. And you made some of these disciples the greatest of disciples after your resurrection. The Lord Jesus did not pass them on. The Lord Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is not only the object of my faith, but he is also the model, the example, the one that I look to. How to live a life of faith. May the Lord bless his word. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this evening. We thank you that when we look We want to thank you that we will always find. We will always find the Lord Jesus there for us. Because he never leaves us or forsakes us. Father, we want to thank you for the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. We want to thank you that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. We want to thank you for the life of faith that he has started in us. And it is the life of a most holy faith. And we want to thank you that he is the finisher of our faith. And right there in between, Lord, we want to thank you that he sustains us. He sustains our faith. Father, we want to thank you. What can we say of the Lord Jesus, your son, your lovely son? Even now, Lord, he makes intercessions for us. For you. He has gone to prepare a place for us. And he's coming back for us. And one day we shall see him. And we shall be like him. And that it is because of him we are called the sons of God this morning, this evening. Behold, what love, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That we, because of the Lord Jesus, because of being accepted in him, can be called the sons of God. We want to thank you that the Son of God became the Son of Man. That we, the sons of men, can become Son of God. The sons of God. So we want to thank you. Lord, help us to look and help us to keep looking. Help us to go on and Lord, help us to keep on going on. And Lord, as every time we look, may we see, may you open our eyes to see the beauty of the one who loved us. And gave himself for us. We thank you for the Son of God, who loved me, who loved us, and gave himself for us. Help us, Lord, to keep looking. We want to come before you. Even in this prayer, we are indebted because we can only come in his precious name. Amen. Amen.